The Solar Panel, a weekly Suns podcast, part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. We are PHX.
Man, I tell you what, Espo. I'm sitting there earlier. Shameless, excuse me. Self-plug right here. And I'm recording an episode of the Drive and Dish podcast. And I get the alert on my phone. Blake Griffin, he is done. I tell you what, man, the Clippers can absolutely just not catch a Blake every postseason.
Did you just make a bad pun?
Yes. I'm so proud of that.
And God, come on. Since Dave's not here, you have to pick up the slack? Like, what? That was an old man joke, and you're in your 30s. You're not like 112 like Dave.
You get it? They just can't catch a Blake.
Oh, I get it. I just don't think it's very good.
I was so proud of it. See, I'm not like you, Espo. I'm not witty.
You just made that abundantly clear. I don't think the listeners will ever accuse you of being witty or funny or, at this point, maybe not even interesting. So you better be careful with that.
Listen, I make my cat laugh all the time. I'm very funny. Just ask the cat.
You're a cat guy now, too. You're just digging yourself a bigger and bigger hole.
Well, I haven't had the fortune that you have and of meeting the love of my life and creating offspring and that kind of thing. So in my mid-30s, I sit at home with a cat, a little 13-year-old dog, and I hang out by myself and podcast.
Hey, I don't make the baby or my wife laugh either, so just so you know.
So what do you think, though? The Clippers, Blake Griffin done for the remainder of the postseason. They're going into this offseason with a lot of questions, a lot of players that are coming up on free agency, whether that be Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, J.J. Redick, some of the role players and Spates coming up on a contract. What, as the Clippers organization, would you do with, specifically, though, I guess Blake Griffin, given his injury history?
Blow it up. I think it's time to blow it up if you're the Clippers. Let Doc go. He can go become the general manager of the Orlando Magic. He can come visit you in sunny Florida. You can let Blake go to the Knicks and maybe bring back Carmelo and let him and CP3 and DeAndre run it back and try something different, because at this point it ain't working. And you're still the Clippers, so you got to figure something out.
Blowing it up, it's a great idea. The problem is all these guys are free agents, so at this point, you can't trade them. So what are you
in a sign and trade?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that would be like the only real option for you.
Or let them all walk and just start from square one. I don't think they'll do that, but you could do that. What did this turn into? Clipper Daryl show here? I thought this was a Suns podcast.
And it is a Suns podcast, and you are listening to the Solar Panel, a Phoenix Suns show, part of Almighty Baller Radio. Greg Esposito at Espo on Twitter. Dave King, who is not here today, at Dave King NBA. My name is Tim Tompkins. You can follow me on Twitter at Radio Tim NBA. And of course, you can always follow the Suns Solar Panel on Twitter at Suns Solar Panel. And by the way, hello and shout out to everybody listening on Dash Radio right now.
Yeah, exciting to be a part of the new Almighty Baller Radio on Dash. And glad that you're joining us either early on a Tuesday morning on, since we're a Suns show, I go with Pacific time. We air at 2 a.m. Pacific here on Almighty Baller Radio, and then again at 6 a.m. So if you're here with us, you are a trooper, because it's early on a Tuesday morning when you're listening to us on Dash Radio. And I got to ask you this, Tim. As a single guy, this probably won't get you in trouble, but as a married guy with a daughter, I think this is going to wind up causing me some issues. Did you realize that on Dash there is Playboy Radio? And right now, if you go look where Almighty Baller is, radio is showing up on Dash, we're right next to Playboy Radio. That, I think eventually my wife's going to ask questions about that.
What did they do? Is it audio porn?
No, I don't know. I haven't listened. So if my wife's listening to the show, I haven't listened to Playboy Radio. I'm sure it's wonderful. And what I understand is it's different women and people talking and some music. So, but you know, I think they might confuse what Almighty Baller is. It could be bad. But as long as my wife does not notice that we're right next to our next door neighbors here on Dash are Playboy Radio, I think I'm all right to remain on Dash Radio. So thank you for having us, DJ Ski and the whole Dash family. Can we maybe get a different placement so I can keep my marriage?
And it's funny, yeah, Baller Radio right next to the Playboy channel. I feel like that's fitting.
Exactly. I agree. I agree. It's not a bad location. We'll probably get some listeners just from that. So, but welcome to our Dash friends.
If you are subscribed to the show on Apple Podcasts, the greatest thing you can do is leave us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcasts iTunes app. And this week we have one from TrickLords88. TrickLords88 says, I have been a Suns fan since the Nash era and grew up watching them since I am from Phoenix. Shout out to Eric Bledsoe for the link to this podcast because it is a great listen for a diehard fan like me. Love the different inputs on everything and to hear different opinions from fellow Suns fans. Finally, a great Suns podcast.
I feel bad for the other Suns podcast because most of these reviews are saying they're trash. Now, I'm not saying that the reviews are, but, you know, it's nice that we're appreciated.
Let me ask you a question.
You can always ask me a question, Tim. Always.
I could just ask you, but the fact is I like to tell you I'm going to ask you a question. So
I figured that's usually the format of the show. You're the host, so usually you do ask me questions. But go ahead, Tim.
Out of the other Suns podcasts that you listen to, my understanding is there are two others apart from ourselves, and if I'm wrong and there are more I want to know about it, tell me about them by all means. But you have the Locked On Suns pod. You also have Always Sunny and PHX pod. Out of those two, which one is your favorite?
Well, let's make it clear. None of them are on Dash, so they don't have the power that we do, obviously. They're simply podcasts. We're radio now. So there's a difference here. My favorite, I like to think of it more in Anchorman terms, where if we all wound up in a park in San Diego and we're going to rumble, who could we take? And I'm not messing with Kellen and Eddie House. Not because of Kellen Olsen over on Locked On, but because of Eddie House. I'm pretty sure Eddie House could kick our asses. I'm just going to say it. So I think I'd probably say that they're my favorite just because I don't want any beef with Eddie House, who works with my buddy John Bloom now. I gotta say this. John Bloom got quite the upgrade on the Suns postgame show. When I left the team, I obviously left the postgame show, and he gets Eddie House, a guy who scored 60 in college, and John had me, a guy who didn't score a point in intramural basketball in college, let alone in actual NCAA hoops. So I got the utmost respect for Eddie House, so I'm going to go Locked on Suns. But, you know, as you've heard from reviews, we're ultimately better than them.
You're listening to the Sun Solar Panel, a Phoenix Sun show, part of Almighty Baller Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at Sun Solar Panel. The Suns TV color commentating crew suffered quite the loss this last week, and something that took me by great surprise. I did not see this coming.
Well, I didn't either, and I actually happen to know the two gentlemen that broadcast Suns basketball pretty well. And when Steve Albert, the play-by-play man for the Suns on television for the last 5 years, announced he was retiring this week, I was extremely surprised. He's been in broadcasting 45 years, and obviously the brother of the great Marv Albert. But Steve had quite the illustrious career. He was more well-known for being the voice of Showtime Boxing for decades than he was for his NBA work. But one of my favorite things about Steve Albert that most people don't realize is Steve Albert was the voice of MTV's Rock and Jock I don't know if you remember that. You're probably old enough to remember that, Tim. I'm not sure the listeners are. I don't know what age group our listeners skew, but back in the day, when MTV was primarily a music channel, they would every once in a while dip their toe into a sports and reality type thing called Rockin' Jock, where athletes and entertainers would take on each other in different sporting events. Basketball was one of them. Softball was another. And there was usually some bizarre twist to it. Like the basketball version had a hoop above the hoop where you could get extra points, and they had a four-point shot, all sorts of crazy things. Well, Steve was the voice of this, and he had a co-host, a color commentator by the name of John Stewart. You guys may know John Stewart. And I love to talk to Steve about this random stuff because he just had such a interesting career and an interesting life. Another thing about Steve, a lot of people don't know, the Willis Reed injury game for the Knicks, game seven, when he came out and helped inspire that Knicks team to win the title. Steve Albert was a ball boy that game. And so he was there for that. He was in college. He came back for the game to be a ball boy. He had been a ball boy prior to going to college. When he was in school at Kent State, he was there during the Kent State shooting. He's just been around a lot of crazy things in history. And I don't think Steve got the credit that he deserved in his time with the Phoenix Suns. Steve is one of the funniest guys I've ever met. And he made some of the worst Suns basketball we've ever seen a little bit more entertaining, because even when they were losing on numerous occasions by large amounts, he wasn't afraid to have a little fun, give a little levity. But I know it grew tiresome and frustrating, and so I'm glad that he decided it was time for him to hang it up. He joked with me when I talked to him earlier this week that he never imagined that he would beat Al McCoy to retirement when he took the job. He assumed Al, who's a little over a decade older than Steve, actually I think it's more than that, that Al would be the one to retire first. But Steve decided to hang it up. And we're going to try to talk to and catch up with Eddie Johnson, his broadcast partner, sometime in the next week or two to talk about this and other stuff. And Steve said that he'd try to come on later in the summer, talk with us about his illustrious career. Tried to get him for this week, but he's busy packing up the boxes and moving back to New York. But I wish Steve the best of luck. There's not a nicer guy in the business, a harder worker. He was a guy that wouldn't go out on the road. He rarely would even go out to dinner because he was locked in his hotel room, not literally locked in, but he was locked in working, preparing for that following night's broadcast. And I wish Steve nothing but the best in retirement in New York. And he joked he'll have a David Letterman sized beard in no time. So now what happens is we've got to move our attention to who's the next voice of the Suns on TV. And I think that's an interesting question.
And before we move our attention to that, did you talk to him about what his plans are, Steve Albert's plans through retirement, if he plans to be broadcasting under any scenario? Or
no, I think it's actually legitimate retirement. I think he's just tired after doing it. He was a Warriors play-by-play guy, a Nets guy, a Pelicans guy. Like I said, he'd done it for 45 years, and I think he just hit the point where it was like, you know what, it's time to move back to New York, live the life I'm comfortable with. He told me, you know, after a while, the plane flights and living out of a hotel for more than half of your year is just too much to deal with. And if you haven't ever been on an NBA road trip, and that's most people, and that sounds like the worst humble brag I'm ever going to make on this show, but I've done it before, and even on a chartered flight, it becomes taxing because you leave one city at 11 or 12 p.m. after a game. You've worked your butt off. There's still work to do sometimes in preparing for the next night. You get into that city that you're going to be in the next day at 3-4 in the morning, and you're in another weird hotel room, and you start to forget what room or what key is the room for that hotel. I mean, Steve told a story about how he actually one night this year tried to get in the wrong hotel room at 3 a.m. He tried to go into the hotel room number from the night before. It's taxing, and you don't think it would be, but it really is. It starts to be quite the grind, and the guys that do this for decades on end, you just get tired at some point. I think that's where Steve's at.
Hey, friends. It's Joe Borelli from the Superflight NBA podcast here. If you're looking for some NBA news that's a little off the beaten path, you might want to check out the Superflight. I have great guests from around the league to talk about all the latest NBA topics. But if you're craving some art, music, and general existential nonsense as well, I got you covered there too. Check out the Superflight podcast on iTunes or anywhere you download your podcasts. Or go to ABPN and subscribe. And thanks for tuning in. Now back to your show.
So I was talking to some lawyer quote-unquote friends that I have, and they were telling me a story about a gentleman that they represented, and it was kind of comparable to what you were talking about, Greg. And essentially, this guy forgot what hotel room he was in, and he stumbled in middle of the night and got into the wrong hotel room and got into bed.
Oh, God.
And there was a child sleeping in that bed, and he didn't realize it. And the parents woke up, and you know, they were in the room next to him. They called the police. The guy was arrested, and it all happened because when he was downstairs, he asked the hotel, the kiosk worker, whatever they're called, what hotel room am I staying in? So when you tell me that story about trying to get Steve Albert trying to get into the wrong hotel room, I think of that moment of that guy that went into the wrong room and got into bed on accident. And can you just imagine the horror of waking up to screaming parents, you're in the wrong room, there's some little kid next to you, you know, whatever the case might be. I can't imagine that. But that being said, I've always thought that the Suns broadcast in particular, and I could never tell if I was a homer, but I always thought out of all the broadcasts, I really loved the Pelicans broadcast as well. I like the Jazz broadcast too, but I've always thought that the Suns had some of the best color commentating there is, period, in the entire NBA, but I haven't been able to tell if I'm a bit of a homer. So what's your take on that?
You're asking me, you're saying you're a bit of a homer, and you're asking me who genuinely likes the two human beings that in Steve Albert and Eddie Johnson that called the games and worked for the organization. I loved them, but you know what? I'm not objective either. I'm sure I'm more biased than you are in terms of that. So yeah, I thought they were one of the best. They had pretty really good chemistry. I mean, it took a little time, I think, for EJ to adjust to Eddie because EJ to adjust to Steve because he has a very distinct delivery and his humor can be a certain way. So I think it took Eddie that first year a little while to connect on it. But yeah, I thought they had great chemistry, and it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. I have my ideas on how I'd like to see it all play out, but it'll be interesting to see who the Suns go with as their next voice.
So I would be watching the Phoenix Suns on TV, and you know, whatever random girlfriend I had at the time, and they all kind of would say the same things. They were like, man, this broadcast, it's so cheesy. And I would think to myself, but that is part of the beauty of this. They know that some of those jokes are cheesy. It's hilarious. And it's funny because it is cheesy.
Well, and it's done too, usually, because the games were so bad that, you know what, you have to have a cheesy sense of humor to get through it. I mean, think about it. For 5 years, Steve Albert, and I get it, he was paid to watch the game. So was I during this period. But you have to describe a bad product for four of those 5 years that really, at times, was not entertaining to watch. So how do you make it entertaining? You have to have a sense of humor about it. And yeah, you have to be cheesy about it because it's just the way it is. And I think fans grew to appreciate that for the pure fact that they understood those two guys were suffering through it as well. Have you seen Mystery Science Theater 3000?
It's on Netflix right now, actually.
The new version. Yeah, it's back now. I felt like at times that was Steve Albert and Eddie Johnson. They were trapped watching watching bad basketball rather than bad films like in Mystery Science Theater 3000, and they were just required to have a sense of humor about it and make dumb jokes because that was the best way to keep from getting angry or crying over it. Let's be frank.
So where do you think that the Suns TV broadcast goes now?
Well, I have a few thoughts. If I were the Suns and I were sitting in team president Jason Rowley's shoes and talking with Robert Sarver, I would say this is simple. We ask Al McCoy for the 50th anniversary of this franchise this season to take the TV job. We ask him to leave radio and move over to television and do something truly special to honor the 50th year of this franchise. If there's anybody that truly is the soundtrack of the Phoenix Suns and the one guy that has transcended everything that's happened in this franchise history, it's Al. And if this is potentially Al's last season, let's give him something truly amazing to enjoy in that final season. The thing with Al, too, is the radio positioning for broadcast has gotten worse and worse. They're sitting higher up in the upper decks. It's not ideal. I'd like to honor Al that final season, giving him those courtside TV seats, let him call the games with EJ, and make him the TV guy for the 50th season. And then I would move John Bloom. Obviously, another thing I'm slightly biased on, but I'd move him into the radio seat with Tim Kempton and do that. Do I think the Suns will do it? No, because that shows a true understanding of the history of what's going on. And I think I don't see that move happening. I would love it. I think a lot of fans would love it, but I don't think it'll happen. Another thing I'd like to see is make a run at a guy like Gus Johnson. Give me a big name that's gonna add a little sizzle to what's going to be an important next 3 years or 5 years for this team. If you truly think 2020 you're competing for a championship, then bring in one of the biggest names in basketball who can grow with this young roster and be entertaining with this young roster. I think Gus Johnson fits that. I think he would be fantastic. Now, I don't think they're going to do any of that because Al as the TV guy is a creative solution. I don't see that. Gus Johnson would be an expensive solution, and I don't see that because the Suns are cost prohibitive. They are not willing at times to pay for that kind of thing. So I don't see that kind of a guy as well. So I don't know who it's going to be. Those are who I'd like to see, but I just don't see it happening.
So we interrupt this great podcast that you're listening to. My name is Kevin Rafuse.
I'm Tim Tompkins.
And I'm Justin Cousart.
And we host the Drive and Dish NBA podcast.
We cover every team in the league and a bunch of really fun segments like Random NBA Player, Drive and Dougal, and Hot Takes from Reddit.
So when you're done listening to this podcast, give us a search on iTunes or whatever podcast streaming app you're listening on.
We're also at driveanddishpodcast.com. We are the Drive and Dish NBA podcast.
And you are listening to the Solar Panel, a Phoenix Sun show, part of Almighty Baller Radio. You can find us on Facebook just by searching Sun Solar Panel. So we didn't prep for this, and you're listening in the earbuds right now, and you're thinking, these guys have to prep? Absolutely. Here's how it goes. Greg hits both Dave and I up with an email on Friday, and he says, okay, these are the things we're going to talk about, and then we bat forth a couple of different ideas, and then, you know, we have about a day to really prep for the episode and that kind of thing. We didn't prep for this, so I need an honest answer from you, Mr. Espo.
I love that you act like I prep even when I send you guys the topics. I don't prep. My life is prep for a Phoenix Suns show. All I do is read and listen to Sun stuff. But I don't actually prep. So hit me with it.
The worst broadcast, TV broadcast in the NBA.
I hate to admit this, but I don't watch many other broadcasts other than the Suns. Ooh. I don't.
Ooh. Oh, I gotta stop you.
I am too poor to buy League Pass because because I have a child at home, so diapers are much more important than watching other NBA teams. But you know, so I couldn't tell you. I wish I could, but I got nothing for you. So I'm just going to simply say it's probably the Lakers because I hate the Lakers. So I would go with that.
So I know a lot of people are homers and they are sitting at home and they're listening to the Phoenix Suns broadcast, and I get that because the broadcasting crew is so good, but you do learn more about the team by not always listening to the same broadcast every single time. So I found innate value in listening to other broadcasts. And I also wanted to get a national perspective of, look, I realize how Eddie Johnson and Steve Albert talk about the Suns players and what they need to work on, but how do people around the league, not within the Suns organization, think about this young team? And so I would listen to the Suns broadcast to see, you know, how are they talking about Devin Booker and that kind of thing. So I do spend a lot of time listening to other broadcasts around the NBA. And to me, it's got to be the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, to me, they are absolute nails on a chalkboard. And a lot of this goes to the homer thing, because I'm a homer, you're a homer, we get it. But you don't only want to listen to homer broadcasts, right? And that's what made Steve and Eddie such great companions, is that if a player wasn't playing well, if a player didn't make the right move, they wouldn't shy away from talking about it, which is valuable and kind of incredible, because let's not forget who they're being paid by, right? And that's part of what made them so good.
Well, I mean, frankly, Eddie realizes, you know what, if the Suns don't like something he says, he's going to have plenty of opportunities in this league. And Steve was just never a guy that would hide any feelings about things. Now, I'll be honest, having worked in a team environment, I can tell you sometimes you have thoughts that cut deeper than we even heard from those guys, that obviously you can't say. But the Eddie and Steve did a fantastic job of walking that line. They knew exactly how close they could get to putting their toe over that line before it was going to cause problems, and they did that ballet well. And you know what, other than that 48 win season in Steve's time here, there weren't a lot of things that you could sugarcoat. If you tried to sugarcoat that stuff, you were going to lose all credibility with your fans, and that causes issues as a broadcaster. So those guys found the way to be truthful enough while being a little bit of cheerleaders at times, and made it right. Now, there are probably a lot of broadcasts. I think Tommy Heinsohn, a guy in with the Celtics, is one of the biggest homers that you hear. He's a guy I've heard from time to time, and the Suns haven't had a lot of that, and I appreciate that.
So the big question this week: do the Suns need to make the playoffs next year?
Yes.
What do you will mean? No. Okay. Oh, all right. Well, here's okay. Oh. That answer was too quick, Espo. If that is really how you feel, you are going to end up like me for the last 3 years.
Believing in something that isn't based in reality?
Yes. Honestly, and then sheer disappointment at the end of the day. So one of the things I feel like this strongly about life, and you, I don't know, I feel like, Espo, that you are, you think a lot and you're a really well-rounded individual as far as thought. So a lot of what leads, I believe, to our, even to a certain extent, mild depression in life, as we grow up and we're told, you know, by the age of 25, you need a house with a white picket fence and to be married. And you're taught this and you're told this. And then all of a sudden you turn 25 and you realize, hey, this isn't what life is. So it's our expectations that put us into that point of disappointment. So by you saying yes so quickly, I feel like you're just going to put yourself into disappointment.
Oh, well, I completely agree with you. I'm a big believer in our generation was somewhat ruined by the fact that we were told you can become whatever you want as long as you try. And it's the biggest lie that you're ever going to be told, because no, you're not going to become what you want just because you want it and you try. No, because there needs to be garbage men. And maybe there are people that wanted to be garbage men and they become that. And great. But there are so many jobs that need to be filled that we can't tell people as children that they're going to become whatever they want to become, and that, oh, you could become president. Yet there's been 45 presidents. Like, you know, the fraction of people that I'm not even going to do that math because it's depressing when you look at it. So I'm a big believer in that. And I think being Suns fans has actually probably warped us slightly as well, because we go in each year, and for years the Suns were actually good enough to be a championship contender, and we thought, this is the year, this will be the year, and it always ended in crushing disappointment. Now the last 7 years have slowly numbed us, and we go, well, this is the year we're going to make the playoffs. See, we lower our expectations, but somehow we still find a way to get crushed. You know, it's this perpetual loop that we live in. Now, I still hold out great hope that someday, we, like the Cubs fans, we won't have to have that crushing disappointment. And so when I say, yes, they need to make the playoffs next year, it's pure fan Greg talking. Because after 8 of the last 9 years being out of the playoffs, you just want to see it. You watch this, these playoffs, and you feel like, you know, all of a sudden I'm missing something. It's like when the cool kids had the party in high school and you're the nerd still at home on Friday night. I know you don't know about that, Tim. You were probably the cool kid. I was the nerd on Friday nights in high school that didn't go to the party. Well, right now the Suns are the major nerds. They're the kids that barely even know the party's going on, but long to be there. And as fans, it hurts when you watch playoff basketball and you remember, oh yeah, remember how great the 7 seconds or less Suns were, what it was like to be in the playoffs and have these high stakes for everything that was going to happen in the month of April and May and maybe even June. And you fall into this romanticism about it and really wanting it. Now, the Suns are at best going to be a 500 team next year. And that's if everything goes their way, unless they make some major move that we just don't expect in the offseason that probably isn't in their best interest, that makes them an 7 or 8 seed in the West. This is a process, and I know that's become, thanks to Sam Hinkie and his disciples, somewhat of a bad word in the NBA. But if you're going to build this Suns team right and actually try to win and break the cycle, it's going to take time. For decades and decades, going on 50 years or 49 of 50 years, the Suns tried to build in one very specific way. Never rebuild, always reload, rely heavily on a fast-paced, high-octane offense, and hope it all works out at some point. It didn't. And the definition of insanity, which really isn't the definition of an insanity, it's just a phrase here, but it's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Finally, the Suns are doing something different in trying to build from the ground up through the draft, and I hope finally this time it works. So do they need to make the playoffs next year? The fan in me, the irrational fan in me, says yes, because I long for it. The even-keeled, level-headed, basketball-minded person who wants to see a championship says no, they have to commit to building this right, and that means probably at least one more year without the postseason.
Espo, my favorite part about broadcasting with you is that you make so many compelling points in one rant. And what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to write down all of it so I can respond adequately to all of this. So
what you're saying is I need to learn to shut up after I make a point and let you talk.
No, not at all. You string together thoughts in a really conscious way that just conjures a lot of thought while you're speaking. So first thing is the definition of insanity per dictionary.com. You're right. It is the state of being seriously mentally ill, madness, or extreme foolishness or irrationality. nowhere does it say doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
So what you mean actually is the definition of insanity is being a Suns fan, because all those things you read are exactly what we are.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Okay, and the second thing is garbage men, because I was just reading a commercial in my real job for a place that's hiring garbage men, and they have a $1,500 sign-on bonus, plus you take home $1,000 weekly. I'm starting to think I should have been a garbage man. The second is that I completely agree with you that we need to stop telling our children that they could be anything they want to be. You don't need to tell your kid that she is a princess or he can be an astronaut, because chances are that ain't going to happen. Thirdly, today I found out that everybody virtually at the office was invited to a party except for me. Tonight. And talk about feeling so incredibly uncool. I found.
Just wait till you're not at that party tonight watching the playoffs and wishing the Suns were there. It's all going to come full circle.
Well, what's going to come full circle is I figured out where it is and I'm showing up anyway. So I don't really care.
Can that work for the Suns? Can they just show up at a first round matchup next year and just be like, hey, we're playing whether you want us to or not?
And bringing this in full circle, at the state of the franchise or whatever it is, the speech that Robert Sarver gives to Phoenix Suns ticket holders, my indication from everything he said was that the Suns are not going to be major players in free agency this year. That being said, there's also not a lot of great free agents available. It's really likely the Suns are not going to see a postseason next year without some serious development from a Devin Booker, from a Marquise Chris, from maybe a Dragan Bender, in those types of players, because you're veterans. Eric Bledsoe, he's great. Jared Dudley is a wonderful piece. Ronnie Price, if they bring him back, they probably won't. Leandro Barbosa, if they take the team option on him. But a lot of those players are just simply not going to get better. They might equal their production, but they probably aren't going to get better. So unless we see a huge step forward from some of those young guns, a TJ Warren, I don't see a scenario in which the Suns are getting into the playoffs.
Well, you mentioned, okay, Robert Sarver said no free agents, but he didn't say potentially a bad trade that brings in some veteran that makes you just good enough to get into that lower tier. That's my biggest fear, is that the pressure gets too great for Ryan McDonough, realizing he's in the last year of his contract, and he makes some move that potentially mortgages part of the future to bring in a guy that doesn't make you good enough to contend, but makes you good enough to get back into the playoffs. And I just don't want to see that. There's just no point in getting back into that being middle of the road when you have a legitimate chance to build something great. And I hope that Ryan McDonough doesn't wind up being the sacrificial lamb in all this, where, much like Sam Hinkie, he puts all the pieces in and doesn't get to see it come to fruition.
Ryan McDonough, his option was picked up for the final year of this coming season, to my understanding. What are your thoughts on that, Espo? And do you see a scenario in which he doesn't get the Orlando Magic treatment?
Well, to be frank, I don't think there was an option. I actually think that was something that the Suns leaked out, that it was, oh, we're going to bring him back for the final season of his deal, as in we're not going to fire him this offseason for how bad the team was. I think that was more of a hint, hint, this is your last run, so make this worthwhile kind of message, which scares me, because it's kind of like the horse head in the bed in Godfather, where it's all right, this is unsettling. And I really hope that Ryan McDonough and Robert Sarver truly are on the same page with the way you're building this team. It's the only way they're going to be able to commit to doing this right, because you don't want to put a GM in a position where he has to make a trade simply because he's trying to save his job and not building to build a champion. Because that's the way the Suns would make some kind of deal, like trading a bunch of young pieces in their draft pick for Blake Griffin to just make a splash and be good enough, but not really accomplish anything for your long-term goals. That is my biggest fear here, and it better not happen.
Is it just me, or is Ryan McDonagh the one piece of the Suns organization that you really do believe in?
Me? I believe in a lot of the guys on the roster.
Yeah, I'm not not talking about players, talking about, you know, upper management, that kind of thing.
Well, on the business side, I believe in a lot of people too that I worked with. There's some great vice presidents, and the media relations staff is fantastic. But in terms of, do I believe in other members? No, Ryan McDonagh is a guy I have the utmost faith in. I got to watch from the inside how serious he takes this job, his thought process. In conversations I had with him, I saw a guy that truly understands the game of basketball. This is a guy that grew up around Red Auerbach. His father was the great Will McDonagh, so he knew some of the greatest minds in sports, and he soaked all that in. He's a genuine human being that is a nice guy that truly wants to win, and I think his plan was always to try to build the way he's building now, and just like it wound up being the downfall for Jeff Hornacek, that 48-win season effed some things up. It really screwed up some plans and the way to build things in Ryan McDonagh's first year. Because let's be frank, they were trying to tank that year. If you look at that roster, many people pick, you know, many Vegas lines and experts had them winning 19 games. I told some people I know not to bet on them winning more games because I thought they were going to lose fewer games than the 19 that those projections had them. That's how little people believed in that 48-win season. Now they hit the chemistry jackpot and got lucky, and all these pieces fell into place that had career years and played out of their mind, and you knew it wasn't going to be able to sustain it, but you had to try to run it back and add something to try to make the playoffs. That pressure became immense, and I think a lot of that pressure came from Robert Sarver, who genuinely wants to win and thought, well, we need to get back in the playoffs for this fan base. Now, I appreciate the thought, but it was misguided because the roster wasn't set up for that. So that sets Ryan McDonagh back 3 years, and when he winds up having to trade Goran Dragic and trade Isaiah Thomas and make all these moves because he got in a situation where he didn't really want to be in the first place. I believe in the way he's building this now, and I really think the way he drafts, he's going to set this team up to be a true contender in the long run. Now, his trades have been spotty. All right, he's had some bad deals, but I think some of that was due to the pressure of trying to win when he didn't think they should be trying to win. This is a guy that turned a disgruntled Markieff Morris into a first-round pick. I give a guy a lot of credit on how he figures out to do that. That was an impressive trade, but there's a lot of spotty things. But to answer your question, yes, I very much believe in Ryan McDonagh and his plan for this team. And he's got great assistant general managers in Pat Conley and Trevor Buckstein. They have a good front office and a lot of great scouts too. I believe in what he's trying to do. I just don't know that he's going to get the time to see it come to fruition.
Was his greatest mistake as a GM the first one he made when he took Alex Len over Giannis Antetokounmpo?
No. Do you remember that draft? Mm-hmm. The Cavs were going to take Alex Len one. All right. And if you go back and look,
hey, they took Anthony Bennett. That doesn't mean anything.
I know. But if you look at that top five, even top six, not a lot of great talent that came out of the top half of the draft. And you got to keep in mind, Ryan McDonagh was hired as the Suns general manager 3.5 weeks before that draft. Now, I know people say, well, he was a scout before that. He understood the draft field. Yes, he did, but he didn't understand necessarily the team that he was coming into and the roster that he was inheriting and what he was going to have to do. It was his first time as the guy calling the shots. There were a lot of people that passed up on Giannis. He was this Greek guy that not everybody knew about. And Ryan McDonagh took a swing on Alex Len, a guy that he thought he had seen a lot of potential in. And they were banking that his foot injury that he was coming off of wasn't necessarily as bad as it was. Alex didn't have his rookie season. So I don't think there, there's a chance that Alex Len still develops into something good in this league. Do I think it'll happen in Phoenix? No. It could very much be like the Robin Lopez thing where team two or three of his career benefits from his skill set. I'm not writing Alex Len off as some giant bust, but you can't – a lot of people swung and missed on Giannis. This isn't Lance Blanks choosing Markieff Morris over Kawhi Leonard because Kawhi Leonard sweat in his suit when he was being asked questions by Lance Blanks. That's why the Suns didn't wind up with Kawhi Leonard. It's not that kind of situation. They took a chance on Alex Len in a draft that didn't have a lot of great talent at the top, hoping that he was the guy that was going to develop into something, and it didn't pan out. I don't hold it against him.
Should he have taken Steven Adams?
You know every draft, how much you could go back and do this what if? I mean, go look at the Steph Curry draft and everybody that that whiffed on Steph Curry. I mean, look at the freaking Minnesota Timberwolves who took two point guards right ahead of Steph Curry, all right? Like, there's a lot of just what ifs that happen in drafts. There's a reason it's a complete and utter crapshoot and why tanking actually is so dangerous because there is no guarantee. I mean, the Blazers have two of the biggest what ifs in NBA history with Greg Oden and Sam Bowie. I mean, think about all that. If you go back and try to play what if in every draft, you will literally go insane. So I try not to do that because you might as well just close your eyes and throw darts at your draft board, and you're probably going to be as efficient as some general managers.
So while we are in your ears, in your earbuds right now, or listening in your car, I want you to, as long as you aren't driving, that is, to open up your phone right now, and I want you to head over to the Sun Solar Panel on Twitter. And we tweeted something out, which is second graders scored 100% on their reading test, and there's a teacher that is trying to get Devin Booker to read to the class. And so they made a video with the hashtag Devin Booker to read or whatever it says in the tweet. And we want you to go ahead and we want you to retweet that tweet because shout out to those second graders for one, for scoring 100% on their reading test, but for two, having it their dream to have Devin Booker come and read to them. I mean, I think this is great that second graders are idolizing Devin Booker in a way that young kids are idolizing Steph Curry and, you know, LeBron James back in the day and Kobe before him. I mean, I was so inspired by this video, Greg.
You know what? I'm gonna go one step further, and I'm actually going to send this to a couple of people over at the Suns, the head of community relations and one of the VPs that I'm buddies with, and I'm going to push for this too because I think it's great, and Devin Booker's the kind of guy that loves doing this kind of stuff for the community. So let's try to get these second graders a special visit from Book. I mean it's like the old Pizza Hut Book It program that they had. Well, they can actually book it and get Devin Booker to their school. So let's try to make this happen for these kids.
We are PHX.
And you're listening to the Solar Panel, a Phoenix Sun show, part of Almighty Baller Radio and part of Dash Radio as well. You can find Greg on Twitter at Espo, myself at Radio Tim NBA, and Dave King, who is not here today, at Dave King NBA. One of our favorite things to do on the show is to take questions directly from you guys on Reddit. For one, your guys' questions are awesome, and for two, Reddit is one of the greatest spots on the internet. Seriously, you can find anything on Reddit. So the first question.
Reddit, hold on. Reddit's much like Dash Radio, where if you go one spot over from the Suns page, you could wind up in a lot of trouble. I'm just saying. Like you said, there is literally everything on Reddit.
I'm not going to ask you how you know that, Espo.
I don't. I've heard from friends, much like our neighbor station here on Dash.
Per Hizzle on Reddit asks, will the Suns take a best player available, trade back, or try to acquire an additional lottery pick by trading away an established Eric Bledsoe?
I don't know. What I'd like to see, if they wind up with the pick that's likely going to be Lonzo Ball, if they're at two and Fultz goes one to, let's assume it's the Celtics, just based on chance, I'd like to see them trade back and try to get another lottery pick and a young piece for that number two pick, because I just don't want to see Lonzo Ball as a Phoenix Sun. I don't know if you saw, but one of the big wigs at Nike said LaVar Ball is the worst thing to happen to basketball in the last 100 years. All right. I tend to agree with that, and not maybe not that far, but I tend to agree that he's going to cause problems. We've talked about it on the show. So if you're sitting there with what's going to be the Lonzo Ball pick likely, I'd trade back maybe a few spots and try to get another piece. Now, best player available, yeah, they're likely going to take best player available because they're going to have the 1, 2, 3, or 4 picks. So you're gonna take best player available regardless of position at this point, because you're still trying to figure out what the heck this roster is, and you move pieces if they're redundant. So yeah, you're gonna take the best player available there. Now, I'm falling more and more in love with the thought of, if you're not getting Markelle Fultz, taking Josh Jackson, making him the small forward of the future, and things are starting to come together and what your roster looks like. But we still have to wait. I don't know what's going to happen at the draft lottery. Everything in me as a Suns fan says basketball karma and the basketball gods are going to find a way to give them that fifth pick, because people aren't happy the way they tanked. And I just think it's the fourth or fifth pick that you wind up with, which, you know, I don't know that there's any lucky charm in the world we could send to the draft lottery that would break this. Let me quick side note. I actually, when I went to the draft lottery the year that they got the Alex Len pick, tried to break the curse by bringing a double-headed 1964 Kennedy half dollar, which was part of the coin flip, and the Suns called heads, and I brought an autographed Cotton Fitzsimmons ticket stub trying to bring the luck of the Irish. Now, that didn't break the curse at all either way. They still wound up with a worse pick than they were slotted to pick. So I'm convinced nothing will break the curse, and that we're going to have to deal with that forever, because I'm just a downtrodden Suns fan. So that's my rant on that question.
So you, Espo, are the reason why we have Alex Len.
No. I think
you just admitted it. That's going. That's gone down in broadcast history.
No, the curse is why we got the pick that turned into Alex Len, and I'd like to remind you that Lance Blanks is why they were that bad to be in a position to have that pick. So I don't think I'm third at best as to why that pick happened.
Rice Bledsoe asks, can you get someone else on the panel? I fell asleep listening to the first one. And Espo, do you mind if I answer this?
You go for it.
Rice Bledsoe, if you're listening, you can go fuck yourself. I'll try and throw in some circus music if that helps you out at all. Colonel Walrus asks, with players like Dudley saying that they'd like to see the team sign some veterans in the offseason, should the Phoenix Suns prioritize youth development like it has been, or bring in players like PJ?
Let me say this. Did I miss something where Jared Dudley's now the general manager? Who cares what Jared Dudley says he'd like to see? Now, I love Dudley. I think he's a great part of this. But Jared talks and says a lot of things. And, you know, if we did everything he says, we'd be drafting Lonzo Ball and we'd be signing a bunch of veterans. And I think you got to commit to the youth movement. Like I said, I trust Ryan McDonough's plan. Love Jared Dudley, but until he's the general manager, it doesn't matter what his opinion is on that.
You're right and I am wrong asks, with the Raptors imploding, and I'm going to put an asterisk on that because we'll see whether or not they implode. Imploding again this playoffs, and assuming that the Suns don't draft Jackson or Tatum, and assuming Tucker wants to come back, it sounds like Suns fans want PJ Tucker back. Should the Suns sign Tucker, and for how much if you do?
That's a hell of a lot of assumptions. Like, there's so many different caveats on that question. I don't know. Do you really bring back PJ Tucker? Probably not at this stage. Maybe a couple years from now when you're in a better place to win. In terms of the Raptors imploding, yes, it will happen because they're the team I picked for Suns fans to root for. So by proxy, they have the curse now. So it's no surprise that they're losing to the Bucks at this current state. So, but no, I don't think you bring back PJ Tucker at this point. If you wanted to keep him, don't even bother trading him for a second round pick and just renegotiate his contract in the offseason or negotiate an extension and be done with it. I think right now, commit to the youth movement, worry about those key veteran pieces after you've proven that you're ready to take that next step.
Felatio, and I apologize if I butchered your name, on Reddit asks, keep Lin or let him walk, and what's the threshold salary-wise for letting him walk? I'm going to start this off really quick because I want to talk about the Phoenix Suns cap space as they move into the following season, talking about 2017-2018 is that their starting cap space, and that includes the hold. So that includes the cap holds on Alex Lynn. I believe that that also includes the team option on Price. Regardless, starting that off, they're going to start that off with the cap holds with $3.5 million, I should say, in starting space with a projected space of negative $10 million and a maximum cap space of $33 million moving into this offseason.
What do I think? I mean, I think it's a keep walking situation, right? The old Simpsons quote there. If you can get Alex Len for the right price, which is, you know, I don't know, probably $2 million more than you'd probably have to pay Alan Williams, and you probably consider it because there is an immense amount of upside. If we're talking 10, 12, 15 million for Alex Len, which I have a feeling that's what we're going to be talking, probably not worth it. To be quite frank, let him move on, let him get a fresh start, and you figure out, okay, what is our long-term option at center? Is it Marquise Chris? Is it Dragan Bender? Is Alan Williams potentially an answer there? And you still have Tyson Chandler, who you're going to be playing either as the starter or the backup for the next couple of years with how much you're paying him. So I say move on.
That being said, Alex Lynn this year, and we can talk about Alex Lynn's development if you'd like, Espo. We can talk about the fact that the Suns have never really committed to giving him starter minutes, even though the Suns have frankly been absolute garbage the last couple of seasons. This year, he posted the second highest effective field goal percentage of his career at straight on the 50% mark. I mean, you look at his per 36 numbers for the season, you know, he's a 14 and 12 rebound guy. On the defensive end, he's been in the middle of the pack as far as centers go. What is the harm of signing Alex Lynn to a short, reasonably expensive deal? If the Suns are going to be competing until 2020 anyway, you get to see some development from this kid. I mean, Alex Lynn is still really young. Centers do take longer. Should they just absolutely let him walk if they can lock him up on a short-term deal?
Because twofold. Do you want to let Alan Williams go? I'm of the belief no, because I think he's one of those guys that could develop into the kind of guy that you need when you start to compete off the bench. And then also, if you bring Alex Len back, that means you're likely going to have less minutes to try to figure out, can Marquise Chris or Dragan Bender play the five, play some kind of hybrid five for this team. It's a minute. It comes down to a minutes game here, and Alan Williams, if he asked to sit on the bench, probably would. He'd be happy to be part of his hometown team and make some money, and if he's asked to sit on the bench, would be accepting of that. I think Alex Len, you probably don't want to put in that situation again if you're going to sign him to decent money. You have to figure out, can Marquise Chris or Dragan Bender be an answer at the five long term? And if you're clogging up the number of minutes that are available by having Alex Len, having Tyson Chandler, and potentially having Alan Williams, you're not going to find that answer. That's why I think it becomes an issue.
All right. The counter argument being, Move Chandler.
Can you, though? Who wants that large of a contract for the next few years for a guy who's very much on the downside of his career?
Taking a look at Tyson Chandler's contract, signed the next two seasons, $13 million next season, $13.5 million the following season. You don't think that there would be a playoff-bound team that would appreciate that sort of leadership and might have the cap space to make it happen? I mean, let's say a team will take Chandler. Let's say, you know, Ryan McDonough is able to work his magic. If they can find somebody to take Chandler, do you re-sign Lynn then?
Yes. At that point, yes. Because you have now available minutes, and it's worth taking the chance if it's the right kind of deal to see if he does develop into something that can be part of the future here. He's a hardworking young guy. I actually think he'll have a productive career. It's just it comes down to money and minutes. Now, a team that I could see absorbing Tyson Chandler's contract and even potentially Eric Bledsoe taking him on and making an offer is a team like the Dallas Mavericks. If they're deciding, you know what, we have to give Dirk one final push to have some kind of great playoff run, they could be an interesting team because they're going to have a high pick. If they're motivated to be good next year, you might be able to get that high pick and maybe a younger piece out of them and deal an Eric Bledsoe and a Tyson Chandler to them because they want to contend. And, you know, I'm sure that Mark Cuban has a soft spot in his heart for Tyson Chandler, who helped him win his first title as an owner. So I could see that kind of thing playing out, but you're going to have to find the right situation and the right owner that's willing to take on $26 million over the next 2 years for Tyson Chandler.
So I want to hear from you. Sitting at home listening on your earbuds right now at the gym, on your way to work, on your way home from work, whatever it might be. We have been batting around the idea of when we record our show to actually do a live YouTube version of it at the same time. It happens on a Saturday or a Sunday where you would tune in, you would watch it, you could comment as we go. And I just want to know if you would think that you would get value out of that and if you would tune in. And so let us know. Hit us up on Twitter at SunSolarPanel. And this was another episode of the Phoenix Suns Solar Panel, a Suns show, part of All Mighty Baller Radio. We are on Dash Radio. You can follow us individually. You can find Espo on Twitter at Espo. You can follow myself at Radio Tim NBA. You can follow Dave King, who is not here with us today, but he will be with us next week, most likely at Dave King NBA. And you can follow the show on Twitter as well as Facebook just by searching at Suns Solar Panel.